become very quiet without him noticing. The Zelosian band was making no noise anymore. The cantina's patrons had all slumped over their tables. Some of them were actually snoring into their drinks. Even the bartender was sprawled across the counter, twitching slightly. As he watched, Sergeant Patanin sagged forward and fell bonelessly to the floor. That couldn't be right, Ulla thought. Since when did anyone in a security detail get drunk?
Obergas!
Jet was on his feet with a blaster in his hand.
Clunker!
The battered droid came instantly to the smuggler's side, its photoreceptors glowing bright.
Good. Keep an eye on the door. I'm going to...
A sharp crack came from behind them. The droid tottered, enveloped in bright blue bolts of energy. A whining noise came from its innards. It froze, a restraining bolt projecting from the side of its head.
Don't move, Nebula,
called a vocoder-enhanced voice from Ulla's right. Ulla turned in time to see a section of the ceiling fall away. The head and shoulders of a Mandalorian projected from the hole. The rifle he held was aimed squarely at Jet's chest.
Stay where you are, Envoy V. This doesn't involve you. Put the blaster down, Nebula. Now.
The smuggler obeyed.
If you wanted to cut in, all you had to do was ask.
With an elegantly muscular flip, the Mandalorian landed feet first on the floor below him.
Your droid will recover. So will the bystanders. I used enough gas to knock them out. No more.
Lucky we were drinking reactor cores, Jet said. Why do you think smugglers order them so much? They taste awful, but they grant immunity to all sorts.
Enough talk,
said the Mandalorian, indicating with the rifle's business end that Jet should step out from behind the table.
Are you at least going to tell us who you are?
Asked the smuggler.
I know,
said Ulla, although he was still struggling to think through the narcotic drink.
You're Dow's driver. What is it you want with Lima Zandrit, exactly?
The Mandalorian's attention turned squarely to him, and suddenly Ulla felt completely sober.
You too,
said Stryver, swinging the rifle.
You're both coming with me.
Or what?
Jet asked.
You don't want to know, or what. Get moving.
Too late, Ulla remembered the holdout weapon in his pocket. He staggered to his feet, and was propelled at blaster point from the cantina. Jet Nebula gray-faced at his side. Chapter 10. The sight of a distinctively rounded, low-chinned helmet brought Lorin to an abrupt halt. With an urgent wave of her hand to signal to Shigar to stay undercover, she backpedaled into a crowded corridor and stayed there until the Mandalorian went safely by. A second glance told her that it wasn't Dow Stryver. This one's armor was silver and blue, not gray and green, and Stryver was both taller and more massive. People moved out of the way. She grabbed a passerby at random.
Who is that?
She asked, indicating the receding helmet.
Only Agshi Shankar,
said the mousy Ibokai, as though she were an idiot.
Stay away from him if you know what's good for you. He's come second in two separate great hunts.
And I bet that hasn't improved his mood, Lorin muttered as the slave hurried away. While the Mandalorians waited for the next big war to break out, they amused themselves by ritual fighting among themselves, drawing in anyone foolish enough to show an interest in their violent ascendancy games. They were dangerous and unpredictable in all things except one.